Blog Talk Radio.
Michael, eles não ligam pra gente.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, dear Megan Allen,
brothers and packs down, plus everybody's high, too doped up to ask why. Watching our own downfall, witness the end. It's like we don't believe in God, cause we living in sin. I asked my homie on the block why he strapped, he laughed, pointed his pistol at the cop car, passed the blast. It's just another murder, nobody mourns no more. My teardrops getting bigger, but can't figure what I'm crying for. Is it the miniature caskets, little babies? Victims of a straight from drug dealers gone crazy. Maybe it's just the drugs, business of how the block was. Crack came and it was strange how it rocked. Perhaps the underlying facts they hide explain genocide. It's when we ride on our own kind. What is it we all fear? Reflections in the mirror. We can't escape fate. The end is getting nearer. Who do you believe in? I put my faith in God, blessed and still breathing. And even though it's hard, that's who I believe in. Before I'm leaving, the mask and the grieving. Who do you believe in? Who do you believe in? I put my faith in God, blessed and still breathing. And even though it's hard, that's who I believe in.
And all the pretty chicks all wanna smile at me. These rap cats, man, they all got this style for me. And if I ever see them, man, they probably bow to me. And when this beat drop, I know they gon' lean. World debut, I know they gon' fiend. Everything Mississippi to the Palm Springs. Girls from brunettes down to blonde queens. These young boys don't know what a don mean. I'm just a bad boy gone clean. I'm the diamond chain choker, always remain sober. Don't drink liquor and all the game's over. Need a plane, I explain it to my broker. Three bots in the hood, top down, it ain't over. You know there's more, man, where that come from? Me and Kuda love rolling back to back in one.
See, the names have all changed since I've been around. But the game ain't the same since I left out.
Freedom of speech, still freedom of opinion, still truth talk.
You know, if you get offended easily by religion, if you get offended easily by sexuality, if you get offended easily by anything that they tell you is normal, that is not normal, you're in the wrong spot. So I just want to let you know, if we have any new listeners, I want to let you know what you're in store for. I do not believe in sugarcoating. I do not believe in cutting corners. And I do not believe in sparing feelings, although I am not a brutal savage. I just speak what I feel. But definitely, what do I want to talk about? So much happened. I got a great topic coming up, and we'll slide into that. But first and foremost, news and notes. Shout out to some of the people at the Black Panther for Justice, Conrad, Ishmael Shabazz, my brother Jamal, Sister Renee, Brother Coop, Sister Sonya, the whole entire team, the new recruits that we have. It's an honor to tote the name Panther, you know, such prestige that comes with it. And the name has been kind of distorted, and the name has been kind of made a mockery of. But I'm just glad to hold that title and that name Panther. You know, shout out to our Comrades Anonymous. Shout out to our Comrades Anonymous. Shout out to our Comrades Anonymous. Shout out to my boy Corey Soul, who is doing an excellent job at his Made Solid Entertainment. I mean, not Made Solid Entertainment, Made Solid Movement. We did several Feed the Homeless programs, and the last one was a success where he linked up with me and said, hey, let's do something together. So definitely hit my boy up, Corey Soul. That's S-O-L. He say Soul, but I call him Soul. You know, so it's wonderful to see brothers like me and, you know, fellow sisters and comrades that we're not rich people. We're not celebrities. We're not rappers. We're not entertainers. We're just people that care. We are people that get tired of seeing, you know, the saying has always been, what? If you don't like something, do what? Do something about it yourself. And, you know, the fact that Kasim reading his fat nostrils, y'all know how I am last season. I stay. You know, you can drive a Cadillac up, that man knows. But, you know, the fact that he has the audacity to close down so many shelves, you know, and it's cold this winter. So the Operation Warm the People was definitely a success. You know, I don't believe in holidays, but I do believe in kids get a chance to smile around Christmas time. I don't believe in Christmas. But I believe in children smiling. So the fact that we were able to go out and give out toys, the fact that we were able to go out and feed people, the fact that we were able to go out and give out care packages, socks, and, you know, just so many things have been a blessing. So I give blessings to the Most High. You know, I don't know what you call them, you know, God, Jehovah, Allah, whatever. You know, it's not about the names, and we get so caught up in the technicalities of, well, you know, it's this, no, it's that. You know, it's about helping. You know, so you know how I am, and my stance have still hadn't changed. You know, the fact that we see the Atlanta Falcons, who stink, you know, who really stink, are having a new state-of-the-art stadium bill. And, you know, it comes down to what are our priorities? Do we care about the people? Or do we care about being entertained by a sucky football team who are never going to be no greater than they are? Now, I know I might have some Falcon fans online, and we can deal with that on another subject, but it's about humanity, seriously. Those people have $1 million homes. They have somewhere warm to go to. So, you know, the fact that Kasim reading his fat nostrils, you know, are in cahoots with shutting down all of these shelters, you know, with people not having a place to go, is sickening. But it's just a blessing to have people, you know, not only like just, you know, Corey Soul, not only like myself, just people in the groups of Anonymous. And, you know, we are in a day and age where we are watching on the television, we are watching racism at its worst. You know, we are watching Donald Trump with that terrible piece of hair on top of his head just say the most outlandish, racist thing, and that, you know, and some people eyes, he's the spokesman for white people. You know, and some people eyes, people like Malik Shabazz or anybody else, and I'm tired of not hiding things. anybody else in different organizations or, you know, people that have racial issues on the black end. They're the spokesman for black people. But one of the things that I learned as I studied scholars like Malcolm X, I mean, because a lot of us, we always resort to saying by any means necessary, by any means necessary. And I had a chance to sit down as his daughter came to Atlanta, and I got a chance to soak up some of her knowledge. And she truly schooled the audience on who her father was outside of the media, outside of the by any means necessary that we've always been shown. She told us about her father being a loving family man. She told us about her father, you know, standing up for the people. You know, she told us this great story, you know, just great truths, because they want stories. She told us great truths about, you know, a true king in this battle. So, you know, but some of the things that I discovered as I researched Malcolm myself as, you know, not when he was under Elijah Muhammad's order, but when he broke away and began to think for himself. And as we go and listen to, and I advise everybody that's, you know, have racial issues, I advise everybody, because a lot of things we're going to cover this season. One thing I want to cover is this coon work. You know, and I know the homie Rizzo said a lot of things, but we're going to stick on the topic of Malcolm. But I want everybody that's a fan or a follower or a listener or anybody that is familiar with Malcolm X to listen to his last speech, and specifically the last 3 minutes of that speech, and listen to what he says as he planned to unveil his movement and his plan that would have helped out black people. Not only black people, you know, but help out black people first, but helped out the world. And they shut him down. They chopped him down. So anybody that has doubts and say, oh, you a coon for saying all lives matter, and you a coon for this and that, check that stuff. Because we have to learn to check our people. You know, some of our black people are doing some of the most foul, just most outlandish, just most despicable things. But we have a blind eye to it because that's a brother or a sister, so-called. Defeat this. And honestly, in my opinion, racism is so hard to we're not going to defeat it because it takes the change of the mind. And a lot of people aren't willing to listen. So you have so certain different scholars that are running around teaching the people hate, teaching people separation. This is what's going on. I'm not saying every white person is your friend, but I'm not saying every black person is your friend also. But, you know, that's just some of the things I want to cover. And I spoke about the homie Rizzo. We got some time, you know. And as I said, he said some things that I agree with, and he said some things that I didn't agree with. But the thing that I didn't agree with, and I don't care if you are in a three-piece suit or a zoot suit or whatever, you are still a black man or black woman. And when they see you, if they want to do something to you, guess what? They're going to do something to you, no matter how you dress. Or, you know what I'm saying, it doesn't matter if you're in a hoodie. But also what I did get that the brother was trying to say, that we have to clean up our image. You know, and shout out to this brother, Shaka Shakur, a brother that I bumped into through a mutual, through a comrade, because she's not a mutual friend. She's more like a sister. But that brother spoke some dope stuff, and people couldn't even receive his message because he didn't just follow with the status quo. But what I did get from what Rizzo was saying, that we have to change our image. That's not going to stop us from, you know, police from brutalizing us. But how about we start to look like somebody? But now you can't tell black people to clean up their image, or you a coon. That's another. That's a later topic we're going to have, this word coon. You know, because I understand who, you know, what it is and what it isn't, but that's a different topic. So I'm gonna stick to the matter at hand. Topic. You had to be, I don't know where you had to be, but I'm sure we understand the crisis that is in Flint, Michigan, and the things that are going on in Flint, Michigan. And as of earlier today, there were two lawsuits filed against. Excuse me. There were two civil lawsuits filed on behalf of the state of Michigan. And this is my thing. The situation with Sister Jada Pinkett, this is what I want to get to. And this is not the topic. But the situation with the Sister Jada Pinkett calling for a boycott of the Oscars. This is funny. Now, I checked out this sister video and I made some comments and I had a decent conversation with a sister. But, and shout out to Aunt Viv, the original Aunt Viv from Fresh Prince, Janet Hubert, for what she said. And people said, oh, she's hating, she's bitter, she have issues because of that. But let's get to the topic at hand of this before we dig into the real topic. Okay, she talked about, begging from the others these awards or these accolades. First of all, whoever said that the Oscars was the measuring stick of your career? I mean, let's go back some time. Eddie Murphy had been cracked the code and said the Oscars are too white. Okay, did it take Will Smith to get snubbed for his movie, his movie Concussion? Okay. Now, that's one point. Two, she talked about love and respect for yourself. She also spoke on dignity. Now, where are you going with this national spokesman? To speak on the word, to speak on dignity. Okay, she said we need to take back our resources and get our own stuff started, but also have the dignity of the people that people can respect. Now, that's all well and good, like I said on my post yesterday. That would all be well and good if her son didn't have an identity crisis and didn't know if he was bat boy or bat girl. Or if also she didn't allow him to be pimped and paraded around as Louis Vuitton's women's model. And, I got some mixed feedback on that. But this is the thing, as a sister to speak on morals, this is what I'm saying, the norm. She's saying dignity for people. What's dignified about your son wearing a dress? What's dignified about you allowing, because this kid is 17 years old, it's not his fault. It takes parental consent, and I'm going to open up the lines in a minute. But it takes parental consent for this young kid to even be in this industry, in this field. And we know how devilish this field is. So I also felt, in my opinion, because this is my opinion, it's my show, my opinion. In my opinion, I felt that she took yesterday's Dr. King's holiday and played on that. Okay? Now, before I open up the lines, there was a young sister named Janiyah McMillan, 16 years old, from Kentucky, who died in juvenile custody. On top of that, did she speak about that? Since Jada is this strong sister that cares, and says what the people should do and pull together, did she speak about the crisis in Flint, Michigan? No. It was all about, the rich people didn't get what they want. Oh, dude, Will didn't get his award. So what? And my last point, because this isn't all about her, but the fact that it took this to make you realize, at what point when they made movies like Exodus, when they made all white cast for the Egyptian gods and kings and queens? So it kind of disturbed me, the message coming from people like this. Now, that's not shade at Jada, that's not shade at Will, but I'm saying, what exactly are we looking at? And as this kid spoke about the opportunity that he got to be the model for Louis Vuitton women's wear, he said He's thankful for the opportunity and the impact that this will have on the world. Now, we got to get deeper into this. I know this still not the topic, but I've been gone. You know how I do. We got to get deeper into this. How long will we allow them to emasculate our young black men? Everywhere we see shows like The Prince and Elite. We see artists like Young Thug wearing glittery shoes, with calling his homies bae, you know, all of these things. When did effeminizing your son become dignified? So I think before you worry about an Oscar nod, you should worry about helping your son figure out if he's a bat boy or bat girl, or if he's a boy or a girl. But what do you mean now, before when you're judging them? Also, we have to look at, you know, you have to have news and notes on this, because if we're not studying, we don't know what's happening. That they're not, their term in Scientology, shake her brain up, because this was once a deep sucker. This is Tupac's best friend. Now, we understand Scientology. We understand that weirdo L. Ron Hubbard. We understand the guy David Miscavige that's taking over now. Look into this stuff. Okay, also, a lot of things, because I've been gone a while, that disgust me. The kid, Tamir Rice, killer, got away. And the city was asking LeBron James, Mr. King James, Mr. King of Akron, Ohio, this is my city. My city is Cleveland. And you Negroes pardoned LeBron James and said, LeBron James is not a politician. But isn't this his city? Don't he say he's the king? Think about it. Think about it. Isn't this his city? Ain't he the king? So how is it the fact that they shirk their responsibility to speak on the very same people that are getting brutalized and killed and murdered, the very same people that pay their hard-earned money to buy your sneakers, their hard-earned money to come in and watch you play? Without the people, there is no game. We have to hold these celebrities accountable and stop living vicariously and saying, oh, they're so wonderful. Oh, Michelle Obama is so wonderful. Barack Obama is so well-spoken. What is the Negro doing? They told us to wait for years, years and years and years. Oh, wait, help is on the way. There's no help on the way. Everybody's a fan of Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders said no reparations for black people. Politicians aren't good for nothing but stealing votes and lying. But that's another subject. Welcome back. Shout out to my boy, Eddie Belafonte. He said, hey, you need to play Welcome Back, man. I said, all right, I got you. But, and, there's not an Ed Haynes. Now, this is a tough one. And I know I unloaded a lot. But, topic. Is white better?
What you just said, not the spokesman?
Is whiter better? Now, this came from an article a sister tagged me in yesterday. She said, what's your opinion on this topic? Now, the article is old, but the topic is still relevant. The situation is still relevant to this day. And you're going to have to go on my page to read the reply to this message. Now this is crazy, but I need some feedback on this. And you're able to talk about whatever part you want to talk about, whether you want to talk about that or you want to talk about the current topic. But I'm going to read this to you. This is from a white woman, and she wrote into Sister Magazine, and it goes in as follows. It says, "Dear Jamie, I'm sorry, but I would like to challenge some of your black male readers. I'm a white female who is engaged to a black male, good-looking, educated, and loving. I just don't understand a lot of black female attitude towards our relationship. My man decided he wanted me because the pickings among black women were slim to none. And he said they were either too fat, too loud, too mean, too argumentative, too needy, too materialistic, or carried too much excess baggage. before I became engaged, whenever I went out, I was constantly approached by black men willing to wine and dine me and give me the world. If black women are so up in arms about us being with their men, why don't they look at themselves and make some changes? I am tired of dirty looks. I get snide remarks when we're out in public. I would like to hear from some black men about why we are so appealing and coveted by them. Bryant Gumbel just, now this is an old article I told you. Bryant Gumbel just left his wife for 26 years. But this is Bryant Gumbel we're talking about. So who really checking for Bryant Gumbel? But anyway, Bryant Gumbel just left his wife for 26 years for one of us, Charles Barkley. Nobody wants Charles Barkley. Scottie Pippen, the model, Tyson Beckford, Montel Williams, Quincy Jones, James Earl Jones, Harry Belafonte, Sidney Poitier, Kofi Annan, Billy Blanks, Lawrence Fishburne, Wesley Snipes. I could go on and on. But right now, I'm a little angry. This is why I wrote this so hurriedly. Don't be mad with us white women because so many of your men want us. Get your act together and learn from us, and we may lead you to treat your men better. I'm wrong. Black men, let me know. A disgusted white girl somewhere in Virginia. Now, and you have to go back because the brother, he represented, and he more so said, you know, just to skim through what he said, he responded back to him. He put it in a place. He said, the reason black men coveted you so, because you are easier. He said the black women in our time cared about themselves, cared about their virginity. He said they didn't give it up so easy, and white women would give it up more easy. He said he talked with a lot of his friends who were dating white women, and they bragged about how easy the white women were to control. So, my thing, and also I know that this is still recent to this day because we have people like Stacey Dash that says she don't like black men. Eve is with a black man, a white man. I'm not sure. But I think K. Michelle said, if everybody have knowledge to this, please school me, educate me. But I think K. Michelle said she don't want any dealings with black men anymore. And I know my boy Eddie Belafonte might be like, what? Because Eddie Belafonte said he wanted to go 12 round bout with K. Michelle. But that's a different story too. But seriously, the thing is, you know, is it truly better on the other side? And I'm about to open up the line. Is it truly better on the other side? You know, now my opinion on that is no. I mean, I agree that, you know, black women can be difficult, very attitude, you know, very hard to communicate with sometimes, you know, very attitude, you know, a little bit angry. But well, if you see my response, I said, well, it's not one-sided. The black man has to really realize where the black woman anger comes from. Because a lot of us, and like I said, okay, well, I know a couple of great fathers, you know, that are not deadbeat dads, but majority of the black men leave the black woman to be a single mother. And I know it's a, well, not all of us, but as I said on my post, how many of us grew up with our father? And if we did, what exactly did our father teach us? You know, a lot of the black men are jobless. You know, a lot of them, you know, just can't get it together as far as, like, playing the field. So a lot of these things attribute to the black woman going outside, and a lot of attribute to the black man going outside. But my thing I want to ask as I open up the line, do you think it's better on the other side? Why or why not? So I am going to go to the lines and, oh, where can I go? Let's see. What do I want to do?
Ontario.
On the line. Yo, what's
welcome
up, my brother?
Back. Welcome back, my brother. You loaded up. You loaded up on him, mate.
Yeah, man, it's been a long time.
Yeah, you lay. I know. You laid it out there, brother. Which one of them topics should I hit first, man? Is white right?
Yeah, it's white or better. You know, because we have a lot
of
brothers.
You know what's so funny, Ontario? It's hard to say. But you know what's so funny? Is that both of that white girl and that black man essentially said the same thing. They might have felt different about it, but they really said the same thing.
Okay.
The white girl pointed out how hard the black women was to deal with and this and that, and then what the brother come back and say, y'all white women are easier and give it up easier. Same thing. So I guess if we were to sum it up, yeah, white is probably better. Now we get to why, and you know me, I love my people, I love my sisters, but we get to why, and it all go back to the same thing. It's slavery. It's the way we've been treated from day one we've been here in America. We have to build up a hardness, men and women. If we're not hard, you know what happens to us. So yeah. We have built up a real hardness to survive for the most part. And then it's just kind of gotten out of hand as things went on. And now we so hard and so mean, we don't want each other no more. Now, you know, why the white people are so soft like that, it's complicated, but it's a couple different reasons. For one, the white woman thinks the black man a killer. If she don't do what he say, she's so scared of him subconsciously. She think he's going to kill me if I don't do what he tell me to do. And he might. He should. Really. For all y'all done did to him, you know, some of the white women, they feel like they paying the black man back for what they people did to our people. That's a part of it. Where they become so submissive. You know what I mean? And for the black man, sometimes he just don't got that toy that he wanted all his life. And it ain't that he love her so much or nothing like that. It's just that toy that's been on the shelf out of his reach for so long, and now he can reach out and touch it, and he want it at any cost. What'd you say? By any means necessary. He gonna get that wife. So, you know, it's very complicated. And you know, for a large part, it comes back to us having to pretty much, you know, go back to our roots and rebuild ourselves, you know. And I tell you what, too, boy, one thing I like about you, you hard on some people, boy. You hard on them. You hold them accountable. But you know, the sister, Jada Pickett, you know, what she was saying, and in a lot of ways, she was being a hypocrite. But, you know, life is so complicated. So I have to applaud her, as which you did, for stating her side and some of the facts that were factual. Then again, you know, she got some things that she got to stand up for and do better about. But, ain't none of us perfect. But I still say you do the right thing by holding her accountable and making her look at the whole picture and not just pieces of the picture. Because essentially, you know, that's what she's doing. And maybe she's doing the best she can do. You know, we ain't all endowed with the same talent. She put herself out there, and I would hate to shut her down, because I think when a person decides to step out and at least voice their opinion, they should do that. Now, like you said, she needs to get better at what she's doing, look at the bigger picture instead of just certain sectors that she decided to look at. But for now, she spoke out on what she believed, you know, was a worthy cause to her and her husband, because like you said, it appears that the only reason she really saying anything is because he got snubbed, you know.
Uh-huh.
But if that's the reason, maybe that's enough. But Ontario, I tell you, a lot of these problems are rooted in the beginning. And I, like you said, a lot of people ain't going to like me, ain't going to want me back to their house or nothing. But religion is our problem. These pastors
Ooh.
Are a problem. And sometimes, yeah. I don't know if these pastors know they lying to us like they doing because they want the money and because they want the fame and want people to look up to them, or if some of them, you know, just afflicted by the same thing as many of us, which is the slave master teaching. I'm not sure. Maybe it's 50-50. But I know Even in the Willie Lynch letter, Willie Lynch said that unless a phenomenon occurs, that black people will keep, you know, perpetuating this cycle unless a phenomenon occurs. I know what the phenomenon is. When we stop believing the unbelievable, when we start getting back to reality, when we stop teaching our kids to believe something that cannot happen, and then we wonder why they believe some of the other foolishness and get involved in some of the other stuff later on. We already set them up. And you know I'm talking about the stuff about Jesus and how he fed so many people with one thing, you know, bread and water, and he died for our sins and came back. And it seems as if since you tell people Jesus died for our sins, I guess they figure, hell, I can just keep on sinning then. You know,
I keep doing what I want to do.
I can keep doing what I want to do. It's already prepaid. So, so you know, once we, I think that's the phenomenon that's going to occur. And it's occurring anyway. You know, me, myself, I done switched up a lot of things, like I heard you call him the Most High, because what does it matter? So I done replaced God, Allah, Buddha, all that with the Creator or the Creators, or, like you say, the Most High. You know, what does it matter what you call it? It really doesn't matter at all. But when we start to show some more respect towards ourselves as his two things are his greatest creation, Mother Earth and us, and we disrespecting them both. We disrespecting her and ourselves. See, and by them preachers and the pastors teaching that stuff, it's like it's already setting us up to fail in advance. You know, you want to have so much faith in God and all of that, but you need faith in yourself, because really God doesn't need your faith. He is the Creator. He doesn't need your faith. You need to have faith in man and in yourself. He created this system to work, and it'll work just fine. But, brother, I ain't going to keep you. I'm so glad you're back. You know we miss you. We need you. Keep holding the people accountable. Keep doing what you do. And y'all
Jeez,
hold
appreciate
the people accountable. Okay, now. Peace.
Shout out to my boy T, man. He said, hey, now, he had a good opinion, and I'm going to keep strolling. He said, hey, the white woman straight up scared of the black man. You know, she knows he don't have that stuff ready. He might flip out and kill him. But I don't know about that. I mean, we know Tiger Woods tried, you know, with the white woman. He ended up, you know, running out the house barefoot, then meet with a golf club, and it was all bad. It was all downhill. So, you know, it's all bad. But if we have any new callers, or if you want to tell somebody to call and listen to the National Spokesman for the Black Panther for Justice, what's good? Please call area code 646-787-1787. Once again, 646-787-1787. And we're asking questions. Is white or better? Which means, is it always better on that other side? I'm tired of the black man. I want me a white man. I'm tired of the black woman. I think I need a white woman. I think it's better. And honestly, it's not, in my opinion. It's not. Nothing like my black sister. Nothing like my black women. They, yes, they do. They attitude it. But I would rather put up with that. You know, but we're just going to keep it going. Shout out to my boy T. Well, where can I go? Oh, where I want to go. Carla, you are on the line.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing
now? I'm good. I just want to say this right quick. You stated that black women can be... I mean, can you hear me? I hear something. Oh, okay. Okay, you stated that black women can be difficult with attitudes and whatever. You must have came across white women. They the same, just as worse. They have just the smart mouth that make you want to go ahead and just punch them in the mouth. And they use words and they talk to you. I'm serious. They just as difficult. I just want to say that. That's all. Then welcome back. I'm glad you're back.
Welcome back. Appreciate you.
That's all.
She doesn't want to say like Quinn saying the white women got just as much mouth. Which, I don't know. I haven't dealt with white women, but I'm pretty sure they do too, because it's a human thing. Oh, where can I go? I know where I'm going. Carla, you are on the line.
Yes, sir. What's going on, Cherio?
What's up, my brother?
Welcome back, my guy.
Welcome back.
I got to agree with both of the callers, and shout out to Till, because I definitely believe in what she just said, man, because white women will back you in the corner just like any woman, you know what I'm talking about? Black women, you know, they both got the fly mouth, you know, they, if you get them an inch, man, they're going to take a whole foot, so, you know, but, I read stuff now, you know, autobiography, you know, well, you know what I read, but I remember it was a story talking about how white women chase at that hoary myth about, excuse my language, nigger men do it so well, it makes they thrill them to their toenails, you know what I'm saying? And they go chasing after these big bucks, black men, all black men ain't packing, you know what I'm saying? But they go chasing after that hoary myth or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Then like Tim say, you know, black men, you know, could be like, you know, over a white woman, you know, sort of what more controlling than the white women than he could the black women, you know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's just the list goes on, you know. I ain't never dealt with a white woman, and neither I haven't been curious about being with one. You know, if it was to occur, then hey, you know, but it ain't nothing I'm going out looking for. But, you know, my situation dealing with, you know, the little young lady that I was dealing with, and I had a conversation with my cousin. She said, well, maybe you need to try dating a white woman. So I said, why? Oh, no, but, you know, one thing about what a white woman can do, you know, if she's presentable, you know, she able to attract wealth if she, you know, not, I don't want to just label them in trailer park or whatever, but, you know, if she's an attractive white woman, she could go into any type of, you know, place where money is, you know, like an attraction. She could go up in these places that we can't even go, you know what I'm saying? So, versus a black woman, you know, you could dress her up, make her look good, you know, she'd be presentable, she, you know, perform proper etiquette and whatnot, but it's nothing like a white woman could go up in amongst establishment where a lot of business is being conducted, rich men or whatever like that, you know what I'm saying, versus a black woman. But at the same time, a white man be wanting a black woman because of what they heard, you know what I'm saying? And they had these things in their mind. They like back in slavery where the white masters used to love black women. And they sneak out, you know, out of their home and go creeping in those stock cages and go take a black woman for their own self and do whatever with them. And black women used to be ignorant to the fact that the white woman can't please the masters like how they can. You know what I'm talking about? So...
Mm-hmm.
Is the other side better than the other? Man, the fact of the matter is, we are all human beings, so ain't no race better than the other. You know what I'm saying? And that's my take on it, and I'm glad you're back.
And you know, that's absolutely the thing. You know, that's absolutely the thing. As I was responding, I said, you know, well, I can't see myself with a white woman. Not because of racism, because I'm not a racist person at all, but just because I feel like nobody can hold me down like that black sister. Nobody can make me feel strong like that black woman. And it just, to me, in my opinion, it just goes. You know, it goes like peanut butter and jelly. But that's not saying that I would just limit myself. But what I truly feel, in my opinion, is, you know, that's not for me. But, I mean, you said something interesting. You said, hey, the white women can get those loans. I mean, but that's also how we have to look at it on this revolutionary tip. This is why I also said, well, we can't be so gung-ho to push, you know, white people away, because there's a lot of places that not safe for black people. A lot of places we can't go in and we can't adapt to, but, hey, we can send one of those And they're able to go in and infiltrate the place and vice versa. So that's why I believe in, you know, intermingling and working together. But, you know, you kind of get that rejection and you get that resistance and say, no, they stay on their side and they stay on their side when it's neither nobody's side. And you kind of touched on something, too, when you said, okay, well, just as, you know, the black man was curious and said, hey, she's easier. Now, my thing is that easier always equates to better. You know, who really wants something, nobody that don't have no backbone or spineless or just go with the floor? And I'm not labeling, but according to the facts that was given by both parties, because you have to really look at the brother's response on that page. Because the brother really represented it. He, you know, he went in and he said, hey, you know, our people, you know, taught your people, you know, class when you were in caves and, you know, doing this and whatnot. And he said, go back and do your history. So he kind of gave the white chick a little history on the whole thing of, you know, civilization versus not being civilized. But just like that black man was curious to the white woman, the white man was also curious to the black woman, you know. That black woman was his forbidden fruit, you know. So, you know, it's always been curiosity on both sides. So that also brings me to how we would see, you know, it's like we have to get it together, because what I'm hearing is things are getting so bad that the sisters don't want to be with the brothers because the brothers can't get it together. The brothers aren't, you know, this and that. And they're feeling like, I'm going to a white man because it's going to be better. Or I'm going to a white woman because it's going to be better, when it's all, you know, to me, it goes on how well you communicate. Because we're pushing
Let
each
me
other
say
out
this.
The door. Okay, talk
Let
this.
Me say this. This was coming from an older person that told me. That told me this for all the listeners. Once you cross that line, hey, man, ain't no coming back, because they saying, like, once you indulge over there in the other side, we don't want you back. You know what I'm saying? and that's real. That's coming from an old school person, you know what I'm saying? And they was in the game, and they know what white men are to a black woman. And I'm going to say it loud and clear. A trick. You know what I'm talking about? They are considered as a trick. You know what I'm talking about? As far as a black woman going over to the white, you know what I'm saying? She know what time it is. And for a black man going over to the white, you know, when they're talking about the white woman, she know what time it is. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
And so, like I said, once you cross that line, you know what I'm saying? If people know what you done did, then they start looking at you a certain type of way. Now, it ain't for me to judge, because I really don't care about, you know what I'm saying, what it is you got going on, you know what I'm saying? Kill.
Okay.
You know what I mean? To each his own. You know what I'm saying? But for those who do interracial dating, you know what I'm saying, for those who stay down with their own race, they know once you cross that line, ain't no coming back over here. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And I'm a message on K. Michelle, because I really want to know if that accusation is true. You know what I'm talking about? Because we got to sit down and talk about this right here.
Okay, my brother.
All right.
Appreciate you, my guy.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to my boy, Eddie Belafonte. That is my guy, man. I really love that guy, man. He is as real as in person as he is online. So shout out to my boy. Oh, he said, hey, you want to talk about some things? What you doing on that side of the fence? But no, seriously, and, you know, let's get back into the subject. Because I see I got calls, and I appreciate you, and I'm going to get to you. But a question that I want to ask, like, to my sisters, to my brothers, to my sisters, does it anger you? You know, and listen to the way this white woman spoke. She said, you know, if you listen, we might can teach you how to treat your men better. But, you know, now I know I'm finna step on some nerves with this one, but what bothers me about my black sisters is tired of the blonde hair. I'm tired of the lost sisters that got blonde hair, and to me, that blonde hair represents that white woman. But it's lostness on both sides because we got these people that's trying to get butt injections, and we have these white women that are trying to get the fuller lip. But I'm not talking about them because those aren't my sisters. You know, so I want to help my sisters come back to a reality of that blonde hair is not y'all. That's why they feel so confident of you, you know, your men want to be on that side because they feel, hey, y'all even want to look like her. And I'm telling you, it's nothing more beautiful than a natural, beautiful black woman. So, you know, kind of a bone I have to pick is the blonde hair. You know, even some of them get contacts and blue eyes. And, you know, I read a crazy article when it said over 70% of people in Africa are beginning to bleach their skin. And as the great Malcolm would say, who taught you to hate yourself? You know, to where you're changing the color of your skin because it's like, you know, and before I had an awakening, I always thought, you know, light-skinned women were just the best. And like, no. It is a mindset, you know, because it is the person, not their skin color. But it does. It bothers me to see my black women with blonde hair, with blue eyes, you know, changing their skin color. That's not us, you know. And it even kills me to see the black brothers. Like, we got the Futures with the blonde dreads. You know, and one of my brothers told me one time, he said, well, you know, in certain parts of Africa, the black people were born with blonde hair. But are we in Africa? How many babies have we seen today? And if anybody has, please educate me. How many black babies have we saw on the norm born with black blonde hair? So that's kind of a null and void point, but, you know, does it bother you, brothers and sisters, to see your black women with a white guy? Or does it bother you to see the black men with a white woman? Talk to me. Tell me what you feel. This is not a place to be shy. This is not a big place because we have to address certain topics. We got to talk about certain stuff before you can even tackle it. Carla, you are on the line.
Hello.
Yo, what's up, my brother?
Antonio?
It is me.
You can hear me? All right, cool, man. Hey, I've been listening, and I got a mouthful. Good conversation, good subject matter first. I just want to say what's up. It's been a minute. Hope everybody's doing good, everybody on the phone call. Where do I start at? First and foremost, I want to say real quick, too, we can't get caught up in the stereotypes.
Come on, okay.
You know what I mean? We can't get caught up in the stereotypes like this one. These guys are this way, females are this way. You know what I mean? Like, we can't feed into the stereotypes. So, with that being said, you know, like, the whole Jada Pinkett thing, I didn't really analyze that in detail, but and Viv from Fresh Prince, she said she made a comment about it, and she was like, you know, there's so much more we could be thinking about besides the Oscars.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I'm gonna bounce around from topic to topic because I know there's a lot of subject matter in the phone call so far, but what else I want to say? Like the whole black guys or black girls or whatever, like me being multiracial myself, my mom is black, my dad was Indian, Irish, and Chinese, and you know, I've dated the whole spectrum. I've dated white girls, I dated black girls, Indian girls, Puerto Rican, Dominican, Asian, Filipino. The whole nine, you know what I mean? Like, I feel if a person is genuine and that person makes you happy, then do what makes you happy. You know what I mean? Like, don't sway one way or this way because somebody else might disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of ways to slice it. Like I said, I've dated females that were real nasty and had a bad attitude. Like people like, oh, Puerto Ricans are loud. These ones are loud. Anybody could be loud. Anybody could be, you know, low character. Anybody could be simple-minded. Anybody could be arrogant. Anybody could be ignorant. It has no, there's no boundaries. It doesn't discriminate. You know what I mean? Anybody could be any way. At the end of the day, any way you slice it. So we can't really feed into the stereotypes because that's kind of counterproductive in a way. However, you know, like, for example, my family's from Jamaica. So parts of the loud parts of Jamaica are very diverse. You got Irish, you got Chinese, you got German, you know what I mean? And that the slogan for Jamaica is out of many one people. So, you know, we got to back up on certain things because a lot of this stuff stems from racism and a lot of it is being portrayed in the media.
Mm-hmm.
Like serious, like, you know, I posted something the other day about people being targeted by the police, and I said we can't let's not forget about Kelly Thomas, who was white, who was murdered by the police.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not say, if I was to say racism don't exist, I'd be stupid, because I've dealt with different discrimination. You know, like for example, I work with children. I'm a child care provider for 10 years. And I tell most people that, and they were like, no, you don't. You like, get out of here. You serious? I thought you was a drug dealer. I saw, you know. So we take people for face value, and we make a judgment on them. And it could be a good or bad thing. That's another thing, too. I heard somebody mention about being judgmental. If anybody on the line, if you ever listen to Beazle Automatic, check out Beazle Automatic on YouTube. He posted a video the other day about passing judgment. And we all pass judgment. Every single day, we pass judgments on everything. For example, if you're a father, anybody fathers on the line, if you got a young girl, a daughter or what have you, and you're trying to get a babysitter or a child care provider, you're going to pass judgment on that person, right? If you feel like that person is a bad person, or maybe a pedophile, or you're not going to let that, you're going to make a judgment call, correct?
Absolutely.
So, you know, being able to discern, that's what being judgmental is, to have discernment, mm-hmm. to be able to negate, to say, well, this thing might not be good for me. This individual might not be a good influence on my life or my children, so I don't want to have that element around me. So
I mean, and that's such a strong statement, brother, because that's true, you know, and what they say, I had to make a judgment call. You know, so mm-hmm. but you know, like my boy said earlier, you know, everything is still from religion because they say, well, nobody can judge but God. And the thing that I get, you know, that kind of, you know, irritates me when dealing with truth. When you're speaking on a truthful matter, they say, well, you're judging. You know, well, you're doing that. No, I'm just making an educated observation. I'm just not going with the status quo. I mean, and that's just like, you know, as you said, well, you know, we can't buy into the stereotypes. And you brought up the white kid that was murdered. And that's also strong, too, because, okay, now we have the coon train and we have guys like Tariq Nasheed, that if you say anything to the defense of a white person, then that makes you a coon. And I don't rock with that because it just pushes division. Because it's like, if we learn to work together, maybe the black community could have leads to finding a white child, and maybe the white child could have, the community could have leads to finding the black. But we're so caught on our side versus that side to, it's nobody's side. So I really agree with that point right there you made.
Absolutely. And again, like I said, a lot of this is being perpetuated through the media. And we're bombarded with all this nonsense every day. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, we all in the same. We all gotta pay taxes. We're required to pay bills. Mm-hmm. We gotta pay for food. You know what I mean? Look at, like I said the other day, talking to some Edward Snowden. You know, these whistleblowers that are being you know, they didn't get any white privilege passed. You know what I mean?
No.
So we gotta be we gotta be critical thinkers. Like, we can't just paint everything with the same brush.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I'm from a multiracial family.
And, you know, like I said, I've dated all types of females. I've tasted the rainbow Skittles. That's me. Like, you know, not to be funny, but, you know, people say black women are loud and they're rude and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But to be honest, I dated a black girl, beautiful black girl, beautiful personality, real smart, real soft-spoken, real compassionate. She worked with kids as well. You know, she was real straight and narrow, going to college. I was more rough around the edges. You know, she copped, like, she was amazing, like, and I blew it, you know, not to get on subject, but, you know, I kind of messed that up. But, you know, so we can't, like I said, we can't get caught up in the stereotypes. I've seen white girls that are just terrible, cussing at their kids and, you know, smoking cigarettes, you know what I mean, cussing at their parents and whatnot. So we can't get caught up in the stereotypes either.
Okay. I definitely appreciate that, Mike.
Hey, I appreciate you, brother, for real, bro. I appreciate the phone call. Everybody on the line that gave some feedback. And, you know, that's what it is, man. We got to be able to be critical thinkers and also to convey facts. You know, opinions are cool. Opinions are good. But when we get down to the facts, then that's where awareness and solutions come in, too.
Yeah, that's the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, no doubt. But I say, hey,
love
is universal. So, hey, to each his own, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
That's my philosophy. No doubt.
All right, Pete. And after my boy, man, he dropped some knowledge, and he said, well, You can't jump into the stereotypes. You can't say this and that and this and that. Yeah, I agree. But when I say the angry, because I mean I deal with black women on an everyday basis, so I see the attitudes, and it's not just to say only a black woman has attitude. But when I say why they are angry towards the black man, because, as you said, the media has, you know, perpetuated, and, okay, it's just like, there are a billion educated black women. There are a billion educated black brothers that you can put on TV. But the fact of, we have shows like Love and Hip Hop. We have shows like, you know, our black brothers, as I referred to earlier, the Prince and Elite. You know, they are showing us in the worst way. They're showing, you know, for the most, black men, you know, leaving the black woman to be a single mother. So that plays into some of the black woman's anger. And not just saying, oh, she's better in. Because I don't believe that. I believe that if we step up like kings and we teach and patient with the woman, that changes her heart. But that woman has to be, you know, willing to give that heart and not be so resistant because of the past pain. So that's why they have to allow themselves to be loved, but they are not seeing love on an everyday basis because they're seeing brothers like Stevie J. They're seeing brothers like The Game. They're seeing brothers like Rick Ross. They're hearing things like what the brother Future says. So when I say anger and when I say lostness, I deal with what is being put into the minds of the people. You know, we instead of saying, what's up, my king? What's up, my brother? Oh, it's what's up, my nigga? Oh, instead of saying, oh, you are a bad queen, my sister. It's I'm a bad bitch. You know, I roll with them but bad bitches. So it, in actuality, is what we have done to ourselves. You know, because everything has been flesh. Like I said, okay, and I'm going to open up the lines back and tell me if I'm wrong on this part. Everybody says, give honor to God. He the head of my life. God is first. God is good. That is goals for all of the celebrities. It's not judgment. This is a factual call, like my brother just said, factual. Name me on any of these shows, any. If, you know, I watch TV, but I'm not into the TV like that. But tell me this. Even down to Rev Run, how many times have you seen them pray with their kids? How many times have you seen T.I. pray with his kids? How many times have we seen God? How many times have we taught the woman spirituality, or the woman has taught the black man the spiritual way? See, this is why we are lost as a people. It's not a, you know, race has played its part, but we have allowed it because we have forgotten who we are. That's why I said about my sisters, you got to stop with the blonde hair. Who are you? I mean, if that's comfortable to you, that's not a judgment. But that was never you. They changed that and said, hey, this is what, you know, they changed your body and said, Nicki Minaj is the measuring stick. Everybody got to have butts like her. And these sisters, like I did a show earlier in that last season, on a sister that worked for BET named Kelly Mayhew that died getting jack leg butt injection. Our sisters are dying. Our brothers are dying in the streets because what is being perpetuated through the media. My brother said the first thing they said, I thought you was a drug dealer. Why? Because that's what we portray. That's what we portray every day as a drug dealer. Or I'm a real nigga. That's what we are, real niggas. So when I say angry, the black woman is angry that she has to tote everything on her own. The black woman is angry, but, you know, a lot of it, and like my boy Tim said, keep holding them accountable because they chose from a type and said, okay, this is my type. Oh, he looks like a type because he's this, or she looks like a type because he's that. And we didn't dig into nothing spiritual. We didn't pray. They might have called on God, but they weren't praying. I mean, just honestly listening to what Future is doing to the youth. He's turning them into mush-head zombies. And we are going along with it. So we are training more niggas, more angry, more murderers, more killers. These kids don't care about nothing. So when I say this, I speak on how we are being destroyed as a people. And there wasn't a judgment call, but for Jada Pinkett, who was once a brilliant sister, to get up there and make it about the Oscars on Martin Luther King holiday, or to make it about just the Oscars. Well, speaking of Oscar, what happened to Oscar Grant? We don't know who Oscar Grant is. Check that out. What happened to Tamir Rice? What happened to Andrew Joseph? There are bigger things going on in the world. You know, so, it, you know, on the topic of this, and I'm going to open back up the lines, but on the topic of this, it's like I said, what I'm hearing that we have gotten so bad for one another, until they figure out a different race will treat you better. And we got to step our games up, brother. We got to step our game up. But that's me. Caller, you are on the line. 7360.
Oh, hi.
How you doing?
Hello.
I'm here.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to say something about that white is better thing and basically disagreeing and agreeing to what those guys are saying about black women being attituded, about black women being attituded and, you know, so what. To understand the nature of that situation from both ends, you have to look back on the decades and realize what went down between the two.
Mm-hmm.
for that type of situation to be about today. And it is true in the sense that a lot of black women have attitudes and, you know, stressed out, whatnot, this and that. But on the other end, if you get to know these sisters a little better, you will understand that they also want and seek love too. But they don't know how to seek it because they don't know how to love themselves, and it goes the same way with a man. So both are at each other's throat, you know, with these stereotypings, you know, you this and that and that. Well, this race is much better. I'd rather be with this race. But that's just all a lot of psycho babble right there, you know, because you're really not looking at each other for who you really are. You're more based off of the stereotypes and not even really getting to know that person for who they are and whatnot.
Well, let me ask you a question. As a black woman, how does, does would it bother you or does it bother you to see a black brother with a white woman?
No, actually you don't, because I have a younger brother and I love him very much and I respect all his decisions. Even though, and I'm going to be honest, I do put his head to, you know what I'm saying, sometimes open yourself up to black women. And that's funny because I'm hearing these guys giving a lot of props to these white girls. But I'm going to just say this from my brother's perspective. He dates white girls, and that's all he dates. He would not date a black sister for nothing. And he viewed them as just what everybody was pretty much saying on a negative base towards black women. That's how he viewed them, except his family members, which like would be me, his mother, and his female cousin. But outside of that, he viewed black women in a negative way. So we had a conversation one time, and I'm like, baby, have you realized you've been dating white girls for 8 years? And basically, all you and you have not had a stable relationship yet. You keep running behind them, spending your money on them, doing this, doing that, and have not one of them like actually stayed with you. And they have used you in so many ways. Because another thing, even though I disagree with his decision, but I also support his decision at the same time because that's his life. And he do come to me. Because I don't do it on a racist basis. I do it on a woman basis. It doesn't matter what color you are. All women got some issues. So he approached me, and he gave me these little stories about these little white girls he's there. And I'd be like, okay, well, bring it to me. Let me fill her up. So when I see what it is, I'd be like, oh, no, you don't need to mess with her. So he listens, and he leave alone, and then he end up finding out why I said what I said. You know what I'm saying? And he's smart, but he's not going to leave him alone. You know, he still date him or whatnot. But it's just, slavery has really done its damage. Like, really done its damage. You can't sit here and say, this is what it was, or you got to get over that, because the psychological part of all that emotional, mental, whatever, is with us today. That shit is like, embedded in your DNA through memory. And those traits could affect us till this day, and it does. So it's just like, we just got to start really deeply understanding each other better. It's not the black man this and a black woman this. We're both screwed up in dysfunctional ways. And black men also have to hold accountable and be honest with yourself and admit that, you know, I be having like 5, 6 girlfriends. I may have this good chick and still want to talk to other chicks. Or I may get a good chick and not be satisfied with that good chick because I want one of these ratchet girls. But then you get with them and then you're going through so much craziness. And I mean, sometimes I just sit back and look at it and be like, what the? I see why I stay single. But, you know, that was the one thing I wanted to talk about.
Now you spoke on some real stuff, and the true thing that you said is the slavery, the Willie Lynch syndrome, it is real. It is alive to this day. It is in full effect. I mean, and this stuff is embedded in our DNA. And also you have to give, you know, you have to give truth to what you just said, to the fact of, you know, with the brothers with the multiple women. Because we got to understand what we heard the fellas coming up. Well, no, you don't be single with just one. You know, it was introduced to us that a player, you know, you play the field. You don't trust them. So, like I said, that goes along with the Willie Lynch syndrome of getting them not to trust each other. So it's like, you know, we were never taught strong ethics. You know, a woman was never really taught to value her body. You know, and now, you know, as it is in this day and age, in this century, in this generation, it's even worse because Nicki Minaj is the new role model, or Jocelyn Hernandez, or any of the bickering housewives. So that's all that you are seeing is argumentative black women, but that's not indicative of who the black women are. So, I mean, that's when I say, you know, I get to the psychological of what's being put into us through programs like MK Ultra, Mind Control. You know, it's heavy, and it's much more than just black versus white or black men aren't no good, and you know, because we could be better, but as you say, we don't even know how to communicate.
Sure don't.
You know,
and that's
so
sad. That's the sad part. Communication is a thing.
I didn't hear you.
I said, yo, communication is a big thing.
Communication is key, but we haven't been taught to communicate as people because it's like, you know, a lot of times the brothers weren't, you know, taught how to communicate as men because there's the absentee father. So, I mean, this thing goes deeper and deeper and deeper, and we could be here talking another hour about this and still have time to go.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, one more thing is basically taking – one more thing – hello?
Okay, you still here?
Yeah, one more thing I want to say is basically taking all your topics and putting it into one. We as black people, you know, I'ma just say America because this is where I was raised up at. We as black people in America, especially if you are of the age group that was coming up in the 90s, a lot of what's going on is nothing but signs of wake-up calls. Because there was a lot of people in the 90s, including me, that was saying the things that's going on now was going to go on. Because we wasn't woke then because we were too hard-headed. You know what I'm saying? But now the generation that came after us looked up to us and followed that same lifestyle. Now we got these young thugs and all that there. So, therefore, it's like our generation should be held accountable for the next generation image. Because we created that image because we was deep and down up in the game in the 90s, in early 2000s and late 80s, however it goes. But now should be a time where the talking shouldn't be no more. There should be movements, and I ain't talking about no protests and all that there because it's a waste of your time and it's a waste of your energy. It's not creating no dollars. But there are a lot of what I be saying, I always call it diamonds in the hood. Meaning there are so many gifted people in the hood. If people were just smart enough to say, we need to start collaborating or start visiting vice versa cities. You know what I'm saying? You got to know the ins and outs of worst side because we as black folks, we got the worst side in our community. And it would be very wretched, you know? But it's just that we need to start networking more strongly, less talking, more action, and just keep it pushing until something begins to form. Once something starts forming, it's on from there and can't nobody stop it. It's the point of we got to start getting information to bring about that form. So our lives will begin to change, and I understand what you exactly saying about that, black versus white. At this time, it's about black. So that means it's ourselves that need to deal with ourselves and our people. But in the long run, it's going to be the whole damn world coming on our side.
Right.
It ain't going to be no, we the blacks and we own this. We not for the play master all over again. No, what's going to happen, it's going to be peace all around this world. And all that bullshit is going to disappear, but it's going to take time. And we are, and this is coming from the elders, our generation, starting in the late 60s, 70s on up, we are the beginning of that revolution. It's just the formation must form itself for the real form to begin. And that's all I have to say.
Appreciate that, my sister. Okay, and I sure hope you call back, because I know you're a new caller, so I sure hope you'll tune in more with us.
Uh-huh.
Okay, peace.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Shout out. See, I like that. I mean, diamond in the hood. But that is such a true statement, because we have so much talent in the hood. But the hood circles are so tough that diamond can't shine. The pressure is so, and it takes pressure to make diamonds, but the pressure is so severe that the only options are offered or drugs. And the thing that I say, okay, when we talk about white supremacy, we're going to get into this a lot this season of the show. When we talk about white supremacy, and we say, well, I hate these so-and-so white people, okay. Funny thing is, Ronald Reagan brought in drugs into the country. He brought this crack epidemic. But then he created the DARE program to throw it off. Say, well, DARE to be different. Well, how can I be different when you're flooding my hood with your tainted product? But on a deeper surface of what I mean by that is, they brought that in to destroy us. So I'm upset. I'm not hating on these rappers, but I'm upset because they have brought the white supremacy in. And they have downloaded, they have, you know, with crack, this is all Rick Ross talk about. He's the biggest boss. He's going to flood this. He's going to flood that. And you are destroying our people. But then yet, you know, you get the celebrities that when it's time, they say, well, the game, is the business is unfair and it's racism. Well, you have played into racism your entire career. You have played into white supremacy your entire career. Now you're upset. So that was the thing on the whole Jada Pinkett and Will Smith. Because if we understand this sick thing called Hollywood, Will Smith's very first role was playing where he was in the bed with a white man. So, I mean, this has been a long thing going, stemming from emasculating our brothers. You know, and it's funny that every brother is addressed. I mean, it's not just the black brothers. I mean, because, you know, you see, what's the cat, the white guy? Channing Tatum. You know, but so, you know, and what I try to get people to see is somebody in Hollywood has a sick fetish of men in dresses. But they have played into and they have sold their sales for dollars for so long, so now when you don't get, you get snubbed, something is wrong. Or we have damaged our sisters, and the sisters have damaged the brothers for so long, now that they feel it's too tough, we have to go to another way. There is nothing else that we have to go to. And my brother said it right, you know, it's about people, because that's my ultimate message. But me as a black man, just me as a black man, no racism in my body. I love the black women. I love the black woman. Not saying that I would just shut anybody out and say, you're not black. That's not how I roll. But I just love the black women. But I want my black women to understand who you are. I want you to understand that, you know, you don't have to turn up and, you know, hop down off the sink. Take your leg down. Smile. You know, don't, you know, and this the sisters that say, bruh, kill that. Oh, bruh. I'm not, what? You know, we have the most simplest language, but we screwed it up even worse. So my concern is the world, but right now my concern is to help my black people open their eyes. But I still got more time and more callers, so I haven't forgot. Caller, you are on the line, 8008. 8008. If you're looking at the phone, that means I'm talking to you. Hello. Okay, they're not here. Caller, you are on the line. Okay, 2002. Guess we're getting nothing. So, I mean, I closed out the show. But simple. What I want my people to understand, and I'm about to close out. You know, I don't want 30 minutes went by kind of fast. But it's about understanding who we are. It's about being better. It's about treating each other better. It's about not tearing each other down, cussing each other out like dogs. I mean, because this plays into the psychological damage. But, I had a lot on my mind today. So I decided to write something. And I want to share it with you. And if you're friends with me, let me know what you think about it. Okay? And then I'm going to get out of here. There's a little poem. I don't even have a title for it. But it says, "We don't know if we're coming or going, but think we're saved." Talking about land of the free that were built by slaves. Everyone claims to be awake, but can't see the truth. Jada spoke about dignity, but have you seen her youth? We're only good enough to play king. We are only good enough to play slaves, never kings and gods, or some angry nigga slaying his brother, always at odds. We can't see something strange. Nearly every man ends up in a dress, but I guess you didn't hear Dave Chappelle say that's Hollywood's test. So before we applaud and say the entertainers care, ask yourself, when it came to black lives, how many were there? Think about it. You said LeBron wasn't to speak about Tamir Rice. But isn't he the king of the city where they took that same life? Nah, I'm not mad or don't expect them to stand up for me. I just realized, why would my dollars support them when their dollars and voices don't support me? Let me know what you think about that. And, you know, I'm glad to be back. Shout out to my boy, Annabella Fonte. Shout out to my boy, Kazumpa. Shout out to all the people that called in. Shout out to the new callers. Shout out to the people that were listening that just didn't say nothing. Please say something next time. And you know this still the same thing. Guess what? I'm out. Until Thursday, y'all.
No Negro leaders have fought for civil rights.
What do you mean
they
by
have
fought?
Begged for civil rights. They have begged the white man for civil rights. They have begged the white man for freedom. And anytime you beg another man to set you free, you will never be free. Freedom is something that you have to do for yourselves. And until the American Negro lets the white man know that we are really, really ready and willing to pay the price that is necessary for freedom, our people will always be walking around here second-class citizens, or what you call 20th century slaves.
What price are you talking about, sir?
The price of freedom is death.